Dennis Felger here at Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. You are the only thing that matters. Their goal is to treat every customer like their only customer. Check them out at cambridgesavings.com/corporatebanking. Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
I just came here to help you rating.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Man, I got a call, and my agent hit me. I was, you know, no cap. I was working out. And he was like, hey, man, you know, we just got an interest from a team. I'm like, okay, cool. Who? And it was like, New England. I said, hold on. Like, how is me and Belichick going to mesh? You know what I'm saying?
Because that was the first thing I thought.
Because it's like perception. But it also is like this, too. It's like, okay, like, can we not? We have to talk about the elephant in the room. And it's like, you know you who you coming after. And I'm like, yeah, great. Yeah. What he was, what he is. It's great. Needs no even talking about it. But one thing about it, though, you, Coach McDaniels, you able to call some stuff that you ain't never been able to call now. All right. You know, and I told, hey, you getting a dog. You getting one of these ticked off dogs, too, that's like, bruh. And I'm looking at the schedule. I'm like, who we play? That team passed on me. Okay, that team passed on me. They could have game and got me. They hollered at me. I even asked my agents, like, hey, yo, so what's up with? Nah, man, the agent act like he was like, well, we got to wait till it was just all type of, you know, issues. So I'm like, bro, you know what? I'm going to take this time with the COVID. I said, I'm going to commit to myself.
All right, so that was from the Odell Beckham sit-down a month ago, whenever this was, where Cam Newton admits basically the first thing he thought of when the Patriots called his agent was, how am I going to mesh with Bill Belichick?
How's this going to work?
That's what he thought. That's what Cam Newton thought, right? Right? That was his thought.
Yes, how's it going to work?
Okay. Now he says when he's on EEI yesterday that there's been a misconception about him. I mean, I have the long quote, but it's just so I'm going to paraphrase that, you know, there's a misconception of him. Never mind the black athlete thing, which he also brings up. But I don't think that's honestly the crux of it. The crux of it is that I'm viewed as a prima donna or high maintenance. Again, I'm paraphrasing that I have this misconception about me. And so people thought that we wouldn't mesh. And it's unfair that people have this perception of me. And he goes on about that in the media and the narrative and the misconception of him when he admitted himself the second he got the call, the first thing he thought of was, how are we going to mesh? So why is this now unfair for anyone to think how he is going to mesh with Bill Belichick?
It's not unfair.
Okay, so
to me, it was a story from the very beginning. It was the number one question, and I mean that on the field and off. But given the guy that was before him for as long as he was and how he played, and to bring in a player like Cam Newton, who stylistically couldn't be more different than Tom Brady in any way. I mean, really, again, on the field and off, is there a guy more different than Brady than Newton?
It's just simply put, the Pats haven't done much with me first guys here. They try and get the me first guy out of here. And Cam Newton is perceived as a me first guy. That's how I sort of view him. I don't care if it's black, white, yellow, red with purple polka dots. I mean, that's just sort of that guy. And he's hardly the only quarterback who carries himself that way, by the way. Whether it's Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers, there's a lot of guys like that who I would say, how's that going to work here? You know, Aaron Rodgers had a pretty high opinion of himself. And those Manning fellas have a pretty high opinion of themselves. How's that going to work here with Bill Belichick? So I'd say the same thing about them that I would say about Cam Newton and that apparently Cam Newton said about himself. So let's not go carrying on like people were making things up or some unfair sort of aspersion. You had the exact same question, Cam. So, Greg, I don't know if you had a thought on that.
I do have a thought on that. Do you remember how Cam Newton entered the league? Do you remember the controversy at the combine when he was coming out in the draft? Do you remember the quote that he gave to Peter King?
No.
He said, and this caused a this was a big issue at the time. He said that, I don't have the exact full quote, but he said that he viewed himself not only as a quote, not only as a football player, but as an entertainer and an icon. And that quote spun out of control to the point where, like, because I worked for Peter and I was at Carolina camp, and Cam for a long time wouldn't talk to Peter or anybody else from Sports Illustrated because Peter used that quote. That was his quote. And that is not Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is, you are a football player, period. End of story. You don't do anything else. Cam does want to be an entertainer, an icon, which I don't have a problem with. And he amended his comments, but that's where he started from. That's how he entered the league. And that's how things got colored as far as the public is, as far as who he wants to be and what type of player he wants to be.
Why is it so hard to admit that the me first, you know, I'm the man, guy with a high opinion of himself, of which Cam Newton, black, white, again, whatever color, is hardly the only guy who fits that description at that position right in the league. There's a lot of guys like that who you would look at and say, well, that's not exactly what they want here. That's not what Bill emphasizes. He emphasizes team over individual. And so Cam Newton has absolutely carried himself that way. And the Patriots have absolutely carried themselves another way. So how is that unfair for anyone to say, is that going to work, when in fact Cam Newton said it himself? So that's all. Like, I feel like all these, there's just so much revisionist history going on here. It's out of control. Just tell it like it is. They can make it work. I hope they make it work. They're talented guys with a lot at stake. So let's see if they can make it work. But up front, so now this is a perfect marriage, a perfect match. You freaking nuts.
Oh, it's asinine. Please, again, from the beginning, the question was, how's it going to fit? That was the question from the very beginning. That was the biggest question. How does it mesh? How does it fit?
And that was his question, too. More calls here for Greg Bedard. Nelson and Brookline, go.
Hey, guys. So my question is simply this. You know, you guys have been giving a lot of flack to the possibility of the Patriots being any better this year. But have you taken into consideration the fact that there's been about 15-plus years of film on Tom Brady and the Pats, you know, and now with Tom, Cam back in the fold, wouldn't that change? Wouldn't that make it a little bit more, I guess, more versatile? And Sure. Lastly...
Well, you know what, Nelson, let me just stop there. Do the Patriots have the benefit here, Greg, of an element of surprise?
Okay, I'm glad Nelson brought this up, because this is something I wanted to address. Now, is there an element of surprise because there's no preseason and all that? And yes, but For even Cam Newton to go on the media Zoom last week and talk about, like, well, people don't know what it's going to look like. People are like, you know, what are they going to be doing? Excuse me, are they playing a different sport? This is football. Everybody runs the same plays. Everybody, I'm sure McDaniels is borrowing a lot from what Carolina did, what college football does. Like, they are not going to go out there and reinvent the wheel on Sunday against the Dolphins. It's going to be something you've seen before. And actually, it's going to be really freaking simple, because they have a bunch of guys on offense who've never executed anything together. So let's just all slow our roll on that.
So when Cam Newton says nobody knows what it's going to look like, you know what he's overlooking? Neither do the Patriots. Right? That's what he's overlooking. The Patriots don't know what it's going to look like either, until they actually get out there and play. Bill doesn't know. I'll tell you, the more you listen to Bill here in the early part of the year, you know, and I know this is a cliche, Bill uses the early part of the year like an extended preseason. This year he has to. He doesn't have a choice.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have a choice. He has to. He's got to use it that way. He doesn't know what he has.
Do you think Baltimore is a good comp for how they play offense, Greg?
No.
Why?
No. Cam and Lamar Jackson are two completely different players. I mean, Lamar Jackson runs like a 4-3, and he's a better runner than he is a quarterback. Cam is a better I don't know if I'd go as far as to say he's a better passer than a runner, but I would say he's a more of a 50-50 combination of the two, whereas I think Lamar's a much stronger runner. And – you know, even that offense in Baltimore only works because Lamar is such a threat to run the ball. Is Cam going to be that threat? Are they going to expose him to that much injury? I don't know. I have my doubts about that.
Okay, we can.
Jackson can fly.
Right.
He can fly. Oh, yeah. He's the fastest guy on the field. He can fly.
We continue with your calls and 10 questions with Bedard right after this.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter @Felger and Mazz.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Mass Golf. Join the Mass Golf community at massgolf.org/play today and start enjoying Mass Golf benefits, including establishing an official USGA handicap online through the Members Now program. Visit massgolf.org/play today and enjoy the game of golf here in Massachusetts.
Answer. You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, 10 Questions is back for another season with Big Boy, Greg Bedard from Boston Sports Journal. Give him a read. Give him a subscription on there. 10 questions, Patriot-related, around the league-related. We've got to do it in 10 minutes, so we got to be on time. So we have buzzer options. Jimmy, what are they?
The Red Sox are playing, if you call that, and they suck.
Okay. Thanks, Mary in Manchester on line 3. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing? Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? It's Tom and Quincy.
Holy crap. Next.
They could use a good ass-kicking.
That's on the Celtics, which they actually got. We'll get to that later. Go.
What's the over-under on points for Robert Williams? Under. I'm going under. Under. He's going to suck tonight. Mark my words.
I think you went over that night. Next.
Yeah, there's a Blanami Foreman.
Okay. It's a good one. Next.
Yeah, you suck. You blow. And I would say, Gatch, you smell.
I like that one.
Ted says, suck. Fart.
That's the one I'd go with.
Oh!
How many more? You understand, he just faked you out.
I.
Okay, so the last three. Jimmy, any of the last three? Hit it.
We have a problem.
What?
Greg's line dropped.
You're kidding!
Oh, come on.
Oh, you gotta be kidding! Serves him right for being in the freaking backwoods up there.
Beaver bite through the line or something?
I bet you. Yeah, seriously. Either that or he blew up the cabin.
We had Michael Hawley on the line for a few minutes there. Maybe he snapped the line.
Unabomber up there, for crying out loud.
Or he went foraging for nuts and honey.
Seriously. Don't kid yourself.
His hands are all sticky. He's sticking his hand in the honey jar. Mima's got beavers and muskrats chewing through the line. All right, when we get him back, we'll get him back.
Freaking well, bedied.
Fine, we'll do it without him. Hit it. Go, Jimmy. You understand, he just faked you out. It's a Marcus Smart. Number 10, Maz. What did you make of this attempt by an unnamed team to buy a draft pick by executing a sign-and-trade for Jadeveon Clowney? Now, the teams, I've read a couple, the Browns or the Ravens, the Saints, there are a couple of these teams involved. There's been a couple different reports. So I'm not sure exactly who was involved, but the deal was this. So, for example, the Browns were going to sign Jadeveon Clowney to a $15 million contract, pay him a $5 million signing bonus, then trade him immediately to the Saints for a draft pick called a third-round pick. So, basically, that $5 million signing bonus is the responsibility of Cleveland. The $10 million salary is the responsibility of New Orleans, and Cleveland gets a draft pick out of it. The league nixed it. Should the league have nixed it?
Yes, I think the league should have nixed it for lots of reasons. One, it circumvents the salary cap. It allows a lot of teams to do it. I know the cap is crap, but even so. And secondly, you shouldn't be able to buy draft picks, which is effectively what that was. To me, that had to be blocked. The league did the right thing.
Longest question ever, by the way. I say no, they shouldn't have nixed it, because I'm all for trades in all sports, especially the NFL. Trades are exciting, so yes, the NFL should have allowed it. I don't care if it's a bit of cheating.
Absolutely should have allowed it. Absolutely. It's not cheating if the league approves it. The league should have approved it. Anything that creates more movement in that league, or player movement, or any kind of movement whatsoever, you should want. There's not enough movement in that league. Next.
Ted says, suck. Fart.
Actual tweet to Maz. Is Bedard back yet? No.
No.
What do we make of these odds last week? You guys were off. You guys were off when these were posted. Jimmy Shapiro, Vegas odds maker, out of nowhere, it feels like, out of left field, posted this prop bet. Will Bill Belichick be the head coach for the Patriots for game one of the 2021 season? Yes, plus 120, no, minus 150. If you have trouble reading those odds, let me translate. He is an underdog to return. He's an underdog to return and a favorite to be coaching somewhere else in 2021 or retired. What did you make of that?
I mean, I think there's a story here, and I don't know what it is, but I want to find out. To me, I think there's something to it. Vegas thinks Belichick's gone. is what it tells you. It's close, but they think that if you made him pick, Vegas would tell you that Belichick is gone.
Even if Vegas thinks it's 50-50, what's up with this?
Yeah, I look, again, didn't Vegas have Cam Newton's best odds coming into
England?
Yes.
Yeah. And a lot of people poo-pooed it, right? And where did he end up?
We know where he ended up. Murray, you have a thought on this?
Yeah, I think if this team is going to be a complete dumpster fire, and I'm talking like 3-13, like it's real bad, and his contract's up, he's going to bounce. Why sully his record and reputation with what's going to be a full-on rebuild here for the next few years? And you know he's going to have suitors. So if the contract's up and it's a mess, he's gone.
This is a story worth following. What is up with this? Where does this come from?
Well, see, and Murray, what I would tell you is if the contract's up after this year, then it's already been decided. There's no way they would let him go into the final year of the Crafts if
that's right.
You know, if he didn't have a deal, they'd try to sign him, in which case it tells me he's already said no. Vegas knows something. They know something. Now, again, I don't know what it is, but to me, there's something there.
Next.
Greg's on 10 if you're interested.
Okay, very good. Next, hit it for Greg. Go.
The Red Sox are playing, if you call that, and they suck.
Yeah, you said a bad word there. Greg, who's the most overrated team in the league?
I think it's the Bucks. I don't think they're. I don't think they're ready to compete at a Super Bowl level in this Brady.
Hey, I'm going to let you go. Your phone blows. He says the most overrated team in the league is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It's a good pick. It's not mine, but it's a good pick.
Wow, good one. Hot take.
Tennessee.
Good one, Mass.
They still got Ryan Tannehill's their freaking quarterback.
Good one.
Everybody's all geeked up about Tennessee. They went 9-7 last year.
Good one.
And they have Ryan Tannehill as their quarterback. Pump the brakes on Tennessee.
I'm going with Denver. I've seen predictions from multiple places now that have this team at like 9 or 10 wins and even some making the playoffs. I think Pete Prisco with CBS has them making the playoffs. Based on what? Like, ooh, Drew Locke has all the weapons to make the leap. What do we know about Drew Locke other than hype? And Vic Fangio is still their head coach, and he should be in a home at this point. Denver is not going to win 9 games.
All right, Green Bay's on that overrated list too. Next. I'm not doing Dice Clay. That's what happened when
I think Greg's back with us, by the way.
When the OG shot went in. Are you on a real... how are you talking to us, Greg? Where are you?
I'm in Maine. I'm on a beach. Like, the internet just dropped out for some reason. I don't know.
Okay, fine. So, go ahead. Okay. But if your phone starts to blow, I'm going to hang up on you again.
I know.
Number 6. I'm sorry, number 7. Ryan Fitzpatrick has been named the starter for the Dolphins on Sunday. Is that the right call for Miami?
Of course it is. Tua hasn't gotten hit in forever. They need somebody. And plus, Ryan Fitzpatrick kicked the Patriots' ass the last time he played them.
I'm going to let you go. Your phone sucks. just wait till your internet connection comes back. Go ahead.
Yes, it's the right move. In the short term, it's the right move. Is it going to be the right move in week 10? I don't know. But right now, to start, slow down. Go deliberately with the kid. You got something there.
You don't throw Tua up against a Bill Belichick defense on the road for his very first NFL start. You go with Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's the safer play.
It's too bad. Would have been a much funner matchup.
Oh, way sure. Better.
You know? Like, yeah. Like, I like the Pats really, you know, I like them big this week. I like them. But if it were Tua, there'd be a wild card there. It'd be like, you know, what's coming here? It said the game just got, I mean, I'm really interested in it. I'm not saying I'm not interested, but it got a little less interesting with that news. It's too bad.
Okay. Maybe we'll get him in the rematch.
Next.
What's the over-under on points for Robert Williams? Under. I'm going under. He's going to suck tonight. Mark my words.
Number 6. What will be the most depressing empty stadium in the league? This answer to me is so obvious, it's not even funny.
Jacksonville.
Oh, it's always empty anyway. Lambeau, I think, is a place that anytime the camera pans, everyone's up, it's always nuts. It's pouring through your speakers how loud it is. That's one of many. Arrowhead, Seattle, but Lambeau, I think, is going to be the most depressing.
I misunderstood the question.
What did you think I meant?
No, well, you're looking for a place that's typically good that now it's empty.
No, I'm not. I'm looking for the most depressing empty stadium in the league.
Jacksonville.
Buffalo. At least Jacksonville, KC, Green Bay, it's grass. At least it's Lambeau, it's Arrowhead. At least the teams are good. And I'm not saying Buffalo's going to suck. Who knows? But even on a good day, Buffalo is depressing as hell to watch a football game with the plastic turf and that ugly stadium, and the sun is never out. And, you know, them being the Bills, they will probably suck. The Bills, the Buffalo, what are they calling that place now? Ralph Witt's not, whatever.
New Era, I think.
Whatever. That is going to be the most depressing empty stadium in the league.
Well, if you already had the answer, what'd you ask the question for?
I just want to see how wrong you were. Next.
What's the over-under on points for Robert Williams? Under. I'm going under. He's going to suck tonight. Mark my words.
Number 5, who will be the biggest tool bag in the NFL this year?
Kirk Cousins, already off to a good start, I might add. Kirk Cousins, he is going to be the biggest tool. I'm going Cousins.
I'm going to go with Odell Beckham Jr., who I think has already now beaten Kirk Cousins for the biggest tool, who's rumored affinity for perhaps the most...
Yeah, I saw this.
...deviant of sex acts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is bad.
Yeah. He's now not just a tool. You will rethink the term number two receiver.
Fill me in the break. Wow. I'm going to go Donald Trump there. Not technically in the league, but you can just see this coming. You know, some guys are going to take knees. The networks are going to be able to sort of downplay it. You'll be able to manage that message. So it's really not going to be a big deal unless someone makes it a big deal. And he's going to make it a big deal. And it's going to be a pain in our ass. So I'm going Trump on that one. Next.
Yeah, there's a Blanami Foreman.
Is Julian Edelman a tool bag? Why do his teammates hate him?
I would say he's a little bit of a tool bag because his teammates think he's hanging from Brady's ball bag, is how I would put it. I think that's how it, so at the end of the day, that's what I sort of settle on. Just swinging there in the slot.
Tarzan through the vines.
Yeah, pretty much. So now I like Edelman. I think he's a tremendous competitor, but he's a little bit of a tool bag.
I ask this because Bill Belichick insists the captaincy vote is based on the players. So Bill would never lie. Mm. He would never lie. So Bill's telling the absolute truth. Can't call him a liar. So he's telling the truth. It's a true player vote. And Julian Edelman does not get named team captain?
I know. I find that, like, I'd say appalling to some degree. So why he should be a captain?
Because I think he's a tool bag, lowercase t. On the field, competitor, warrior, love him. But off, he's just kind of corny. He's like every dude in Entourage. Like, he's trying too hard.
Or is it possible Bill is lying and they're handpicked and he doesn't want to handpick someone from the Brady cabal?
No, I wouldn't rule that out either. I think if you ask me ultimately.
That's more likely. Yeah.
Thank you.
I think that is more likely, yeah, that he wanted a break from the Brady regime.
But the thing is, I'm saying that to troll Bill a little bit. Like, if you're going to insist it's purely player vote and that's 100% on the level, then that means your best offensive player has a problem with his teammates. Because the longest tenured, most accomplished by far member of that offense, who I thought embodied everything that you stand for in terms of toughness and competitiveness, was just passed over as a team captain. So, players must hate him, Bill. All right, I guess that's what you're telling me. Next. You understand he just faked you out. Again, Marcus Smart. Who's the most undeserving team captain in Patriots history?
Jawan Bentley. How is he a freaking captain? Can you explain that one to me? What's he done in the league? You wanted to tell me someone new here got Newton. Fine, Newton has credentials in that league.
Quarterback.
Yes, and he's accomplished something. Jawan freaking Bentley, team captain? Oh, brutal.
Yeah, but he's filled in worn the green dot before when Dante Hightower went out. It's Cam Newton. He's accomplished stuff somewhere else, not here, just in camp, where he would reportedly kind of just looked okay. I thought the saying was respect is earned, not given, and he's already been named captain. It's Cam Newton.
Bentley.
So, Pat's history, I go Randy Moss. Just to kiss his ass and appease him. Talk about a bad leader. You know, terrific player, obviously, when he wanted to. But, you know, talk about leading guys in the wrong direction and would quit at a moment's notice and went south, but they just tried to keep him on the line, so they named him team captain. That's easily the worst. Next.
Ted says, suck a fart.
From a media standpoint, I was going to ask Greg before a beaver bit through his line there in Maine. From a media standpoint, what part of the COVID restrictions are going to affect us the most as fans and followers of football? What are we going to miss the most? Guys being in the locker room, the Zoom calls, like what?
The locker room. I mean, I think that, and again, I sort of put that in tandem with the Zoom calls. Those Zoom calls are useless. Nobody says anything. All the good stuff comes when nobody's listening or the notebook's put away or whatever. That's when it comes. You got to have the open locker room. That's a big one.
It's that. You guys lived it, and you won't be able to build relationships with these guys and get scoops from players that are disgruntled or whatever or have something to say. The no open locker rooms is going to screw everyone.
Yeah, and I feel like Bill can get less contentious without the media in front of him. Like, it's a small thing, but it's kind of an important thing. You know, we're reliant on the coverage during the week. All right, final one. Go.
Oh!
Oh!
Oh! Oh!
Super Bowl teams, Mass. What do you got in the bowl?
Kansas City, Dallas. Boring, I know. I'm going the Chiefs and the Cowboys.
That's not that boring.
Seattle, Indianapolis, Wilson versus Rivers.
Ooh.
I want to say Tampa, but you guys know, like these stacked teams in the NFL, 2011 Eagles, 2000 Redskins, when you have too many guys, it always ends up getting screwed up somehow.
I just think at the end of the day, Tampa's going to have to go on the road to get there, and I don't think they're going to win on the road.
Okay, folks, we will get back to your Patriots calls. Two open lines at 617-779-0985. Grab them. We'll talk to you. If we get Bedard back, you know, from the lumberjack camp, wherever the hell he is, up in Maine.
Sasquatch.
We'll get him back on the line. Otherwise, your calls right after Murray's update.
Football is back, and there's no better place to get in on all the football action than with DraftKings. To celebrate the return of football, DraftKings is not crowning one, but two millionaires this week. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings app now and use code SPORTSHUB. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at a $1 million top prize. Enter code SPORTSHUB to get a free shot at a $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's code SPORTSHUB only at DraftKings.
$5 deposit required.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mass.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mass.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got your phones as promised. Can't find Bedard. Got Carrie.
Hello,
down.
Hello.
You got carried downstream or something. Is that actually him?
Yes.
He's back. Wow. He sounds even better. What's up, Bedard?
I don't know what happened. The internet just dropped out, and I don't have good cell service here. So sorry about that.
No problem.
Okay. I just wanted to avoid 10 questions. That's all.
Is there anyone that you wanted to get in on that you had to get in on?
I will say, let's see. Who is the biggest tool bag in the NFL this year?
Yep.
I'm saying Albert Breer. Because him and his COVID takes are stupid just because he misses Ohio State football. He misses his Buckeyes, and he just doesn't understand why they're not playing.
What are his COVID takes?
Oh, he just thinks that football is not the super spreader everyone thinks it is. Yeah, when they're in camp. Come on, Bert. Wait till they start traveling. They got to go home. Kids are in school. Then we'll see what happens. But you can't say anything off of the NFL training camp. You can't say, oh, well, everything's been disproven about the NFL. No. There is a lot to see in front of us.
Okay. How about who are your Super Bowl teams?
I have the Ravens and the Saints. The Saints burn me every year. I think I do this every year. I pick them for the Super Bowl. And then Drew Brees and Sean Payton choke in the playoffs. But I'm going down that road one more time.
Okay. Biggest tool bag, Breer. Super Bowl team, Saints. You said Ravens. I'm sorry.
Yep, Saints, Ravens.
Okay, how about the Jimmy Shapiro odds on Bill Belichick? Did you see this? That he's actually a favorite to be somewhere else or retired in 2021. What do you make of that?
I haven't heard anything about that. I just think the sports books, lost a lot of money, lost a lot of business during this. And maybe, if football betting really hasn't gotten going, so maybe this was sort of to prime the pump. They want to get some action. I don't know, something like that.
What do you make of the captaincy and Julian Edelman not being a captain?
You know, the Julian thing is interesting because I have asked around and nobody will give me a straight answer, just that it seems like maybe the I love Julian, and I think he's busted his tail. I think he's become a real force in this league through his own determination. I have a lot of respect for that. Some people are saying that there's, different sides to him. Maybe he's very quiet in the locker room. Maybe he doesn't help out other guys a lot. I don't know. I'm not saying I haven't heard that, but these are the only sort of explanations I can come up with.
Or maybe people just look at him as Brady's caddy.
Maybe Bill looks at him as Brady's caddy and Bill just sets the captains, not the players.
Could be that too.
Well, that's the thing. Bill could do whatever he wants. I mean, was Juwan Bentley really voted a captain this year? I don't know, but Bill could do whatever he wants. But for some reason, he always craps on Edelman. I mean, for a long time, he gave him no money. He made him go to free agency, basically come back with his tail tucked between his legs. And then the guy only, single-handedly helps you win a Super Bowl. And he's been a great Patriot. I don't understand why, Bill hasn't. Maybe it's the Brady thing. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe he's aligned with TB12 and all that stuff, and that's enough for Bill that he just hasn't given him his due. I don't think he's given him his due.
Okay, finally, how do you feel about Fitzpatrick this week versus Tua? You disappointed?
It has to be him. No, I mean, no, because Tua, He had a very serious injury. He hasn't been hit yet. You're really going to put him out there week one against a Patriots defense that should be, in theory, way ahead of this Dolphins offense. And it's just, it would be a recipe for disaster. Tua's going to go out there and Belichick's all of a sudden going to do his stunts and you know, amoeba defense. I mean, it was, he would get killed back there. I think they need to bring him along slowly. I bet we see him for maybe a series in this opener. I think that's the way you sort of get him back and up to speed.
Okay, a couple calls for Greg as promised. Chris in Rockland. Go, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing? You were comparing, you know, Lamar Jackson to Cam Newton. Cam Newton was Lamar Jackson before Lamar Jackson was Lamar Jackson.
No.
And what do you mean, no? How no?
They're completely different players. Have you watched football?
I absolutely have watched football, but he was running his tail off just like Lamar Jackson is. And what's going to happen to Lamar Jackson is now, you know, he played his ass off last year, and the team's going to be looking for him. The whole league's going to be out looking for him and watching for him and spying for him.
Oh, I agree with that, Chris. You know, I would say.
They did that last year. How'd that work?
It's fair, but I don't know. I give him a whole offseason, and I don't know. I'm leery of the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. But, you know, obviously Lamar Jackson has better wheels than Cam Newton at this stage. Cam Newton's bigger, more physical. Lamar Jackson's faster. Like, so they don't do the exact same things. But how about the way just the Ravens do it with all those tight ends on the field? Don't they have multiple running backs on the field? Like all the ball action and all the misdirection and all of that. You don't think there's anything there for the Patriots?
Sure, maybe a little bit. But, I mean, it goes back to, you know, Cam and Lamar, two different players. Cam is a power John Riggins type running quarterback. I mean, he's a power back where Lamar Jackson is a speedy tailback. So they are two completely different players. And so the schemes are different. Yeah, they will borrow. You'll see a bunch of that stuff. I mean, it's really a limited playbook in terms of using a quarterback who uses his legs. But then you also have to look at how much do you want to expose Cam to injury? I would say we're looking at about 4 to 5 maybe designed runs a game. That's it. And then the other stuff's going to have to come on scrambles. And he's going to have to be smart, but he has been smart in his career.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, Mike, but they're just so different. In a lot of ways, they're really different.
I'm just talking about a running game where the quarterback's heavily incorporated. You know, simple as that.
Well, when the Panthers were in the Super Bowl, I did a big story on the Panthers offense, and they actually, that Panthers offense that Mike Shula ran had more in common with the counter tray of the Redskins, the Packers power sweep. They took a bunch of old school concepts because Cam's a bigger old school type of player, and they dressed it up, and that was their whole running offense. They used old school techniques. The Ravens are completely different. They're more college aligned.
Does this Harris injury hurt them? You know, coming out of the shoot there, Greg, he was supposed to be their best guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's their best guy. I want to see him. I think he's more explosive. I think he is more relaxed. He is a playmaker. He catches the ball certainly more naturally than Sony Michel out of the backfield. He has great vision. He cuts back better than Sony does. He breaks tackles better than Sony does. But, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, he's hurt. He's going to miss the first three games. And, you know, they have more than enough at running back without him. They'll get by it. And hopefully Harris gets a real chance when he comes back. I think that he will, but you know, who knows if Sony goes out there and dominates, you know, it's his job.
He won't. Cause again, and when I say he won't, look, they might run the ball well, but it won't because of him. It'll be because their line's playing well and he just runs through the holes. So to me, the thing that they lose with Harris is that versatility. Even if you're just swapping in him and White, right? Even if you're just going to rotate those two, and you want to use Michel on, short yardage. Not that he's good at it, but whatever. Fine. But the when Michelle's in the game, you know what they're going to do? He can't catch it.
Final thoughts with Bedard and some of your calls right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Villiers-Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by SwingJuice.com, a fun golf-inspired t-shirt brand for those who don't take themselves too seriously. Check them out at SwingJuice.com. Get 25% off your order with promo code SportsHub25.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Looking back over the last 4 or 5 months, are you pleased with how the process has gone?
if you look at where we were as a country and where the NFL was maybe in April, May, and now it looks like we're kicking this off this week, just sort of the process and where you are now in game week.
Yeah, well, as it relates to the country and all that, I mean, that's way out of my league and my control. It appears like from a league standpoint, we've been able to manage the situation pretty well. There have been minimal true positive tests. I mean, when you take all the false positives out of there, you know, it's been minimal, particularly in recent weeks. And so hopefully that'll continue. I know all the coaches and players and staff that are involved in this process are looking forward to it on our end. And from other teams that I've talked to, I get that same feeling as well. You know, we'll see how it goes here. You know, college football is underway. Looking forward to watching Navy play tonight and, you know, see how that's going. But, you know, we're all looking forward to getting going. So that's a good thing. I'd say, you know, 6 months ago, maybe there was some uncertainty, but I think each day the confidence level around here has grown in the process and what we're doing. And so hopefully that'll continue, you know, through the season and beyond.
That was Bill Belichick yesterday. Looking forward to watching Navy. When I looked up, I knew we were down 48-3. Well, we have a final that ball game, but wasn't such a good watch for the Navy people. So, Greg, I want your thoughts. The COVID question. How is the league done? Feels like it's done well. Do you feel that it's going to be a clean skate through this thing? Do you think they can survive a season and have a season without bubbles, et cetera? You think they're going to be able to navigate this, or just your general thoughts?
I think the NFL will be able to navigate it. I think they've done a great job to this point. You know, they don't have a quote-unquote bubble, but in training camp you do have a bubble. And really it's going to be about the professionalism of a lot of these guys that they just go to the facility and go home, you know. And, you know, travel helps a lot in the NFL because it's really just a 24-hour trip. You don't go into airports or anything like that. You know, I think the season is going to be successful. I do like the talk that I've heard about them possibly doing a playoff bubble or something like that. I don't know how serious that is at this point, but, you know, I do like that because I do think things are going to get worse in the wintertime, you know, once flu season hits and things like that. But I'm encouraged. I really am. I'm really encouraged.
Let me ask you, are you going to be allowed to go to the games?
We're going to be allowed to go to the games, yeah, even away games. I am not going to. I'm not going to travel. I'm not getting on an airplane until there's a vaccine or I feel safer about it. I'm just not going to. I don't feel comfortable with that.
So all you're allowed to do is sit in the press box. It's still a Zoom.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So what we can do is sit in the press box and then all interviews are done via Zoom. So, you know, I mean, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. You don't really have to be at the game, in my opinion. But you know, that's the way it's going to be this season.
You're still getting the all 22.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. there is, yeah, I don't know. There's, you can watch sideline demeanor and right. sideline mm-hmm. interact. You know, there's little things on the margins there
yep.
to be there, but, that's it. So you can only sit in the press box.
Correct.
Okay. So grab a few more quick calls here with Greg, just before let's just zip through these quickly. Eric in the van, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just had a quick question. Wanted to ask what you guys' opinion is about the no fans in the stadium for the first month or so. Do you think it has anything to do with the election and the people in charge wanting the Democrat to win, so they want everyone to be miserable and vote for the Democrat?
Sure. Hold on. Hey, Eric, I'm going to put you on hold. Do you have Howie's number for me? Would you get that for it? Just here, give this guy Howie's number, and he can call him on that one. Matt in Quincy. Go ahead, Matt. Matthew? Okay, you know the number, obviously. Chris in Raynham. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Oh, my dog. Hey, guys.
Chris, what's your dog's name?
Buster.
Buster, what's your kid's name?
My kid's name is Brady Thomas. I sent you a nice little picture of him in his Brady jersey today. I'm outside. I'm outside now. So what I was calling about the Cam Newton extension, I do think that's an honest, realistic possibility. They could get him on a cheaper deal, get the excitement while he's doing well those first few weeks. Greg, maybe you can answer this about the salary implications of this year. Do they get any benefit of signing him this year while they have all this extra money? I'll let my dog go back to barking and happy football
okay,
week. Bye.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay. I mean, it's a good point. And yes, they do have cap space. But to me, you want as much cap space for next season as possible. I think a lot of these, I know Felger calls it cost cutting by the Patriots. I call it every dollar you save this season and apply it to next year when everybody else is going to have no cap space.
Yeah.
You know, every one of those dollars is worth about tenfold next year. So I think,
get back to me, that's the aim. Yeah. Get back to me when they spend it. They're going to spend every dime of that cap room.
Every dime.
Come on. And the Easter Bunny is going to, the Tooth Fairy is going to leave you one underneath your pillow. Like, fans always do this. So it's like, ooh, look at all their cap room. The teams with that kind of cap room never spend it. And the Pats are not going to spend. So they've got 35 or so right now in the books this year. Whatever they have next year, they'll add on top of it. So let's just say next year they have 50 or 60. So they're going to have upwards of 100. Do you think they're going to spend $100 million in money next year?
Nope.
No shot. None.
They have a lot of openings, I could tell you that much. I mean they're going to have a lot of openings on that roster.
They'll spend some of it. I mean, of course, they'll spend some of it. Their roster's in a reset. So this is a reset year, and I think there are real-world budget constraints that all these teams and businesses are dealing with, and I think you're a fool if you don't think that doesn't enter in some way, shape, or form. Of course it does.
One quick point on the Cam contract. Like, you know, yeah, they could give him an extension, but the thing is Belichick now can franchise him after this season. So you combine that, I think that's going to be about, say, $30 million plus the $1 million this year. Belichick can look at it as they just paid him $15 million per season. So why would he give him suddenly, I don't know, a $40 million signing bonus when he can have him cheaper for 2 years? That's more Belichick.
He won't.
All right, Craig, thanks for hanging in up there the great White North, wherever the hell you are. Next week you're going to be home local?
I'll be home local. Sorry about the issues. Okay. Thanks for bearing with me.
Sasquatch.
See you there, Greg. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Give him a read. Give him a subscription. Come back. We need to give you a couple Celtics thoughts. A couple Celtics thoughts off of last night's big win and the state of that team and this series going forward. We'll have football later on as well, and we'll take your calls on whatever you want. But Celtics Minute off the big win coming away right off Big Jim Murray's update here. 90 seconds, no commercials.
Football is back, and there's no better place to get in on all the football action than with DraftKings. To celebrate the return of football, DraftKings is not crowning one, but two millionaires this week. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings app now and use code SPORTSHUB. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at a $1 million top prize. Enter code SPORTSHUB to get a free shot at a $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's code SPORTSHUB only at DraftKings.
$5 deposit required. Eligible. Just applies to DraftKings.com for details.